You're listening to the Locked In Podcast. Here's your host, Algernon Cash.
I'm Algernon Cash, and you're locked in. It is election season, and everybody that follows me and knows me know how much I love politics. So this is my season. Not only is this the midterm election cycle, so we are looking to elect the next United States senator that will fill the seat that is being vacated by Senator Burr. So you've seen former Governor Pat McCrory has been on the show. We've had former Congressman Mark Walker on the show, and we still have an invite out to current Congressman Ted Budd to join us before the primary day hits. And coming up next week, actually, we will have North Carolina Lieutenant Governor Mark Robinson will be on the show weighing in on this election cycle. But there's so many elections going on, and I'm always wanting to encourage my audience not to just focus on the big races. Sometimes we get so fixated in what's going on in Washington, but it's local politics. It's your local city council. It's your local mayor. It's your local county commissioners. They have the greatest impact on your day-to-day life. They have the ability to make sure you have a community that is vibrant and has jobs and good quality of life. And so many of you in my audience know that I've been spending a lot of time in Lexington. That's literally become like my home away from home. And they've got great food down there, great people. And I want to introduce you to a friend of mine, John Clowney, who is the owner of Bull City Cider Works, but he's also campaigning for mayor, and he's asking Lexington voters to elect him to that seat. Many of you know I'm really great friends with Mayor Newell Clark in Lexington. He has been in that seat for about a decade now, and he is retiring. And so he is looking to pass the baton on to John for that seat. So, John, how are you today, man? Thank you for locking in.
I am doing well, and thank you for having us here today, Algernon.
So I guess, you know, let's just start with that, man. I mean, you're a business guy. You've got a growing brewery, successful brewery. We were talking offline. I mean, you're actually growing across North Carolina, not just here in the Triad region. I know you had a lot going on already. Why decide to run for mayor of Lexington?
Well, I mean, I think we had to step back to your comments that you first had. It's like, this is your season, man. It's politics. I mean, Lexington mayor race, that's a Super Bowl of politics, right?
That's right. That's right.
All eyes aren't on this race. They're actually concerned about the senators. I thought everybody was watching Lexington, man. But no, I appreciate you having me on the show and kind of talking through everything. But like you said, I mean, I've obviously got a lot going on with Bull City. We've been very fortunate that we've managed ourselves really conservatively going into the pandemic. And obviously that was a challenging environment for anybody in hospitality, anybody in restaurants, anyone in the brewery world, kind of like we are. And so I think we did a great job managing through that. And so our business really is poised for a lot of growth. Like you said, we expanded even during the middle of pandemic into our Greensboro location. So we're not just in Durham where we started. We're not just in Lexington, but we do have Greensboro, Cary, and soon to be Wilmington coming online here pretty soon as well. And so with all that going on, certainly the question is, I don't have that much more free time. Am I that bored of a person that I need to figure out something else to do? Why am I running for mayor? And I think a lot of the question goes to the same answer I give people when they ask us about why I located in Lexington in the first place. Why not? Lexington is a great community. It has a ton of opportunity. That's why I took a strong, strong look at it back in 2015 and really made the conscious decision to move our business where we really administrate most of the company throughout the state, and we do all of our production here in Lexington. It is a wonderful community. We have had just tremendous support from everybody in the community, whether it's the business leaders, whether it's the city leaders. It's just really been a great place for us to operate. And geographically, it's a great space as well. Being, like you said, that we're going from Wilmington all the way to Inland, this really gave us an opportunity to say, look, this is a stronghold. This is a good base where we can get everywhere pretty quickly. So I love that aspect about it, but more than just our operation here and more than just our business, we've really been instrumental in the growth and redevelopment of the Depot District in Lexington. And that's something I'm super proud of that we've done as a company, that we've personally invested in the city, that we've said, look, you know, these tired, vacant buildings from when furniture left and really stole the heart away from a lot of this city and a lot of the employment away. we've taken it and we've re-energized it, we've renovated it, and we've created a reason for people to be in Lexington. And not only for employment purposes, but they're coming out socially. Like you said, you're coming down here a lot, even from Winston-Salem, where you've kind of made Lexington almost a second home, because it's fun down here. And we've got a lot going on. And for me, I think running for mayor is just culminating in that fact where we've had a lot of success here. We've done a great job of being part of the community. And I think we're at this inflection point where Mayor Clark and the city management have done a wonderful job in preserving and seeing the first wave of growth that we have here in Lexington. But I want to take a lot of our experience here in the Depot and a lot of my past experience professionally and apply it to the city overall. And that's where I think we can really see the next phase of growth, the next wave of growth that really turns Lexington into something special.
You know, you mentioned Mayor Clark, and, you know, when I first met him, he and I were speaking on a panel together. Like I said, that'd be 10, 12 years ago. And, you know, Lexington wasn't experiencing the same rate of growth that it is today back when I first originally met him. And I recall when I first went down to Lexington, he took me on like a walking tour, and he's really good about that. And, you know, pointing out what he sees happening or what's coming. And a lot of what he was pointing out, you know, you just couldn't see it. And I actually said, this guy may be crazy if he thinks all this is coming to Lexington. You know, you fast forward 10 years later, much of what he actually told me or envisioned with me that day is actually happened. I'd say, you know, 80-90% of what he told me that day has actually come to pass. And so he's done a great job there. He's also a business guy. And that's one of the reasons why I've always been attracted to Newell, is just his mind and the way he approaches public policy. And so when I heard that you were running for mayor, I was also thrilled just knowing you're a business guy, you're an entrepreneur. Obviously, you know my affinity for food and beverage. So, you know, seeing you come out of the food and beverage industry definitely meant a lot to me. But, you know, obviously, Newell didn't get everything done, and there's always more to do. What's your vision? What would you like to be proud of 5 to 10 years from now? If you and I were having that conversation?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think it's, you know, we got to start. We got to get you down here, and I'll do the walking tour with you as well. And like you said, you can kind of understand kind of what we've come from. And I think that Newell really ushered us out of an era of things are the way they are, and that was kind of the way Lexington operated. Well, it's this way because that's the way we do it around here. And I think he did a great job of really opening up the city and really bringing some new investment in and some new business. And I really want to fuel that. You know, I think, like you said, there's a lot that Newell's accomplished, and we've done a great job of bringing in some bigger businesses, most recently the Nucor announcement. But we've got to get more aggressive than that. I mean, we're seeing peers all around us, whether it's Randolph County, Rowan County, Guilford County, you know, big announcements, big companies, big investment. My background in commercial real estate and asset management, I really have a lot of those relationships where I think that from a national perspective, we've got to do an even better job of marketing who we are and why Lexington's the best spot for that kind of business. It's not only because of our workforce, we also have great geographic capabilities, right? Like I was talking about, even for our small business with Bull City, being in Lexington, man, we're not that far from anything. We are close to Charlotte, we're close to Winston, we're close to Greensboro, we're close to Raleigh. It really has been a perfect base for us, even as a small business. But we can interpolate that and say, okay, well, how much better is that for a big business that's trying to do distribution throughout North Carolina? They can get workforce here. They can afford the rates of the real estate here. And we can really make a good platform and a good push for what Lexington is. So part of what I'd like to see when we do our walk in 10 years is that I've been successful in saying, look, we went out and we found some good Fortune 500, Fortune 150 kind of companies that are putting platforms here, that they're putting a flag in the ground. They're saying, hey, we're committed to Lexington and we're involved in that community. I think along with that, if we're successful in doing that, we should hopefully see an increase in population here. And that's what I'd like to walk around and point out to you if we're walking in 5 or 10 years and say, look, remember all these places and we talked about development of these homes? Well, now look at it. We've done it. We've added 3 tiers of housing. We've got more executive housing. We've got more middle housing. And we've also got better affordable quality housing. So I think that's something that we can focus on. And then I really think, you know, like I said, my experience is squarely in the Depot, where we really were the first tenant and first investors down here. And over the next 10 years, and I hope it's fast forwarded much faster than 10 years, we see a lot more investment and development down here. You know, being in the food and beverage and hospitality industry, I certainly want to see more in that. I'm a big food guy as well. And I think that certainly while that isn't the end all be all for any city, I think part of the next phase of Lexington and part of what gets us to the next stage as a city is procuring more food and beverage. You know, we are not maxed out on food and beverage. And I hear it on a regular basis, talking to people about different types of restaurant, different types of food being available in the area, restaurants being open on Sunday. So there's a lot of opportunity. And I think part of that will be here in the Depot District. But then I think we also have a lot of development uptown to still complete. I know Newell and I have even talked about it since we've been located here in Lexington the last 8 years, where it's like, look, we're doing great things uptown. We've got all this development on Main Street, but we have a whole second story on Main Street that we haven't occupied yet.
Yeah, when you think about, you know, any community right now, and I think this is any community across North Carolina, because you know, I was actually with the group this morning. We were talking about some of the announcements that's happened here in the central part of North Carolina. Obviously, the Toyota battery manufacturing plant is coming. VinFast is coming. Boom is coming. Yep. Even down near your area, Macy's is doing a large distribution center in Salisbury. You all have Nucor coming to your backyard. So there's just a lot going on. And I even heard some rumors this morning that Toyota in the next couple of months may be announcing an auto manufacturing project here as well. So they're looking to maybe put a car manufacturing facility next to the battery manufacturing facility. So there's just so much going on. And there's a lot of new people moving into the state. There's gonna be a lot of new people moving into Lexington. How do you get out in front of that? I mean, if you're the mayor while all this is happening, you know, you're going to have to think about infrastructure and housing and so many different types of things in order to meet all that demand. Is the community of Lexington ready for all that?
I think in some ways we are, and I think in some ways we aren't, right? I mean, I think there's infrastructure improvements that we clearly need. When you look at kind of the transition in Lexington over the last decade and a half, 2 decades with furniture kind of moving out, you know, we lost a lot of tax base. So I think that certainly has maybe impacted the speed at which we could update some of the infrastructure, whether you're talking about road repair and replacement or sidewalks or sewage, you know, systems and things like that. So I think that there are some things that we have to catch up on, but I think there's already a lot that's in place that is really good too. And that's part of what we've got to be marketing as a city. You know, when we do have these corporate clients, when we do have these other businesses coming in, and when we do have people moving in from the Northeast or the West Coast or the Midwest and North Carolina, whether or not they work in Lexington, we still need to be marketing our town, because we're not that far from any other location, but we still give a different kind of vibe, a different kind of feel, right? So you can still have a little bit more small town if you don't want to live in a big city. But even if you're living in a small town, we've got amenities we've got to add, right? We're going back to food and beverage. We got to up our game a little bit on that. And I'm definitely going to make a push on that side. But when you look at some of our base infrastructure and offerings that we have, I mean, we are connected. We've got things that people need. We've got the parks. We've got the recreation department that does a great job here in town. So there is a lot that we are already offering as a community and a city. I think we're prepared for it, but we're going to have to start building. I mean, I think that's where we lack. You know, when we really look at it, like I said a moment ago, man, there's not a type of housing that we don't need to build in Lexington. We need to build upper level, you know, executive management type housing. We need mid-level housing, and we need affordable housing. So that's where I think there really is a lot of opportunity for individuals who are entrepreneurial, as well as developers and construction and real estate folks that, hey, we've got good bones. We've got a great infrastructure here. We just got to build it up a little bit.
And I can attest, I've looked at projects down in Lexington. I've had many conversations with Tammy Absher, who works in the city's business office down there. She is great to work with. All the staff that I've encountered and engaged with, including Tara, the city manager, all great folks. They are responsive. They get back to you. Yeah. They certainly are pro growth and are always looking to figure out a way to say yes instead of saying no. And so I do think, you know, Lexington is very attractive to entrepreneurs, developers, real estate folks all throughout the region who want to come there and obviously help y'all to solve some of these demand needs that you're going to have over the next 10 years or so. One of the last things I wanted to jump into before we go, because Lexington is growing, but, you know, for growth in any community to be sustainable, you know, it really requires a certain amount of trust within the community. And I have spent more time in Lexington probably in the last year, year and a half. And I'll tell you, depending on who I'm talking to, you know, there's not probably as much trust in the community in terms of you know, just even trust between the county and the city, or even trust within the city between different factions of the community. And you can call it East versus West. I don't necessarily want to make it racial, white versus black. But when you go around and you just have conversations with people, it just feels like there's an erosion of trust. And I've always had mentors tell me that progress only moves at the speed of trust. So, yeah. I think, when you're elected, when you get into that office, what are you prepared to do to sort of rebuild the trust reservoir within the city of Lexington?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting, and it's something you bring up that I've noticed as well, just going around campaigning and being at different events and meeting folks, where I feel like you're saying, and it really is, it goes back to a trust issue where some folks feel like there's not transparency of understanding things or why things happen. And I think, you know, to be honest, the best way to do that is just sit down with folks. You know, it really comes back to a meeting in person and shaking hands and talking to people, and not in a campaigning style or campaigning manner, but really having conversations. Because if you get into any community, and whether it's defined by geography or race or whatever else, you just have to go talk to the people, and you'll find that within every community, there are leaders, and they may not be elected leaders that are sitting on city council or sitting as a mayor or a commissioner, or any kind of elected position, but there are leaders in the community, and they do have voices, and they do have ears, and they do have eyes, and they see what's going on. And I think a lot of the trust and getting people unified is a big goal, right? It's building that trust from the ground level up, going and meeting these folks and meeting with the local community leaders, not necessarily elected leaders, and meeting them and having that trust, having those conversations, so you understand what are the things that stress them about their community. You know, what are the things that they need in their community? What are the things that they're lacking in their community? And that goes for every community. Every community, no matter if it's defined by race or economics or anything else, there is something that is important to every citizen, right? And every group of citizens in any part of the city. And so I think it just goes back to sitting down and having those conversations and figuring it out, and then making sure that we develop a responsible and intentional growth plan so that all these voices are incorporated in our growth. If we're growing that way, then we're growing responsibly. And if we're growing responsibly, then everybody's going to benefit.
Well, John, you certainly have my support, man. And I appreciate you taking a moment to just come lock in and excuse me, update my audience on what's happening down in Lexington, what's happening with your campaign. And obviously to my audience, again, it is a big election year. Yes, it is the midterm election year, but there's also all types of local elections that are going on all throughout the state of North Carolina, whether it be city council, school board, county commissioner. And those are the races that I want you to pay attention to. Those are the candidates that I want you to learn about and explore and make sure you know who they are. Early voting has already kicked off. Yep. So some of you may already have went out and actually cast your ballot. Others may be waiting for primary day, which will be on May 17th. But let your voice be heard, and also make sure you check in with five other friends. Ask them, are they going to vote? Ask them if they've looked at the candidates. So, you know, be a great community citizen. Make sure your voice is heard, but then also make sure your neighbor gets out and do the same. John, I got to get ready to leave you, man. Any closing remarks?
No, I can't thank you enough for having me on today, and totally agree with you and your sentiment. You know, it's always fun to see what's happening in the bigger races, but when we think about what happens in our communities on a daily basis, it's really these local elections and local leaders that are hearing you and touching you a little bit more on a daily basis. So that's certainly my goal, is to be involved, engaged with the community as much as possible to make sure we're pushing it forward. So can't thank everybody enough for all the support we've had up to this point in the campaign. And, you know, we've got just a couple more weeks here. So looking for a little bit more support here toward the finish line. So definitely want your vote. Don't forget, I know it's a weird time. It's May 17th, but get out there and vote, and vote for John Clowney on May 17th.
Well, you just heard from John Clowney, owner of Bull City Cider Works. He is asking Lexington voters to elect him mayor. And I strongly encourage you to go learn more about him. You can follow him on Facebook. I'm sure he's got a website out there as well. But again, early voting has started. Primary day is May 17th. Make sure you do get out and vote. And to my audience, make sure you stay tuned to WTOB, because that is where Locked In broadcasts every Sunday morning at 7:30. But if you happen to miss it there, you can always subscribe and download the podcast on Apple, Spotify, or Pandora. Wherever you like to get your favorite podcast, you can actually lock in with me. Also, make sure you follow Algernon Cash on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube. And until next time, y'all stay locked in.
The executive producer of the Locked In podcast is Algernon Cash for WCG. The associate producer is Tim Beeman for Such and Such Media. The views and opinions in this podcast are solely those of the contributors and are not necessarily those of our distributors or hosting company. This podcast is copyrighted and cannot be reproduced without express written consent of WGC.